I want you to pretend throughout this whole sermon that you are a runner, that you are deciding you're going to run a 5K. For some of you, maybe you're like, yeah, that's pretty easy. For some of you, you're like, man, I need to put in the training now. But imagine that you're going to run a 5K and you don't really care where you place. You're not trying to win. You're just trying to finish the race in what you think is a proper time, whatever your expectation is. It's not important if you get first, but it's more important that you place somewhere that you want to place in this race. And I'm going to be coming back to this idea of being a runner. So I want you to think about what it would be like if you were a runner in a race. You want to run a race, and you want to finish it, and that's the big idea. You see, every person who runs a race needs to train. And I'm talking about a 5K, and a 5K is not intensive, but you do still need to train for it to run a full 5K, to not walk it. And every person who trains has to fill that void of, you know, not wanting to do it with the motivation to do it. You got to be able to wake up and say, okay, today I'm going to train. I'm going to get on the treadmill or run outside and do that race. Some people even hire a personal trainer or a coach to help them with that 5K or more if they're doing marathons and whatnot. If you're in the Olympics, you have a coach or a trainer to encourage you on. This idea of running is not uncommon in the Bible, and I want to expand on these ideas of running in the Bible. See, we're talking about, do I listen to Jesus? And it's a little bit more than just a listening prayer. It's a little more than just a listening prayer. I'm going to refer to running as actually him being a coach, that he would speak to you as if you were running along with him. And we're going to jump to Hebrews 12, so I want to ask you to turn there. These ideas of running are not uncommon. There's tons of different sports metaphors in the Bible that we use. Philippi and the Philippians are a great example for that, hosting Olympic games for running. If you've even ever heard of a marathon, it was a man who would run from one town to the other, and they named a marathon after him. And so in Hebrews 12, it's a different way of running. Paul and the author of Hebrews, who we don't know their name, talk about running in a different way. Philippians is more of an encouragement. Run with great perseverance for the race set out ahead of you. But in Hebrews, it's in a different light. The author of Hebrews is trying to encourage these group of Jewish believers to follow Jesus with all their heart. Where Paul is trying to say, hey, stand out against persecution. So in Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us, the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And coming back to this race, the running, the training, the coaching, the preparing, we need to be someone who wants to run that race, and that race is life. Discipleship is all about running this race that is life. And what we're trying to get to here is we need that motivation. Therefore, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. We have that motivation. We have that encouragement. There are people on the sidelines cheering us on. They're roaring. If you've ever seen someone run a race, you can always see, you know, the moment where they're running down the street to like coming up right beside you, that is when the crowd gets the loudest. The loudest. It's awesome. And when you hit that finish line, it's loud. But an actual race is very quiet in between. Usually runners have, you know, music going along to keep them on pace and encourage them. But for this race of life, what the author is actually saying is we have a great cloud of witnesses to encourage us. We have this church here that is encouragement for each and every one of you. The person next to you is an encouragement. But also, the great cloud of witnesses is everyone. If you're a runner of the race in Jesus and you're here today, you're seeing how important Jesus is in your life. However, you're not alone. You're seeing other people with you, and you're saying, we are surrounded by encouragement. We have encouragement. We are surrounded by people who are actually running the race with us as if they're encouraging us as well. We're shouting out, keep going, keep doing it. Keep running that race. Keep life with faith. That's why the author says we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And I encourage you, if you're ever wondering like what more to this great cloud of witnesses is, read the chapter prior. It is the hall of faith. It is Hebrews 11, where the author is talking about all these people who had faith throughout the entire Old and New Testament. These people who are great witnesses to God and his glory and how God kept faithfulness back towards them. That is what discipleship is. It's running a race of life with faith. And we have so many people to keep us on with that race. I want you to lean over to your neighbor and say, keep running that race. But we need to know how to run that race with perseverance and endurance and all those kind of things. How to actually continue on life with faith and be victors at the end. Remember, we're not trying to win first place and be the very best at the end of the race. Like, that's a great goal to get. But for some of us, it's just, hey, I want to finish that race. I want to get to the end there. And so in the next verse, we get that endurance, that encouragement of endurance. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says this, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And this is where this whole idea of a race kind of starts shifting. This is where it shifts, and I want to pull us into this. See, discipleship is not a matter of just running a race. Because we can all run a race, and everyone, even non-Christians, right, they're on a race of life, and they're going somewhere, they're trying to get somewhere. But the difference between being a Christian and a non-Christian is that we are running the race with a personal trainer, a coach. We are running with Jesus. He is consistently with us. Fix your eyes on Jesus in your race because he knows he is with you. He will help you keep the pace, encourage you if you slow down. Have you ever heard of a pace bunny? Or as this shirt says, pace rabbit? I think it's more of a Saskatchewan mannerism because we say bunny hugs that I call it a pace bunny. But this is what a pace rabbit or bunny is. A pace bunny is someone who will run the race at a set time, and you can see there half a marathon, 1 hour and 50 minutes. And there's people running behind him, and you can see in that photo, someone is just following him. They want to run the race at a set time, and they're not keeping track on themselves, but they're going to follow this pace rabbit so that they can finish the race in that time. A pace bunny is someone who will run the race, set a pace that you can finish with them. Jesus is like a pace rabbit or a pace bunny, but he is so much better. Because usually, you can see this guy too, he has earplugs in. He will encourage you, but his goal is to finish that race. He's been training as it, just like you have, to finish that race at a set time. And he's there just to carry that sign and to finish that race. He's trying to achieve his own goal too. That's what a pace rabbit is. But Jesus is someone who goes a bit further. You see, Jesus is a pioneer. He knows what it's like. He's lived your life. He was 100% human and 100% God. And so he knows what life is like. He's ran that race once before. He's already lived the life. He's already been the Christian as he is Christ. He has that good stride that he's not going to slow down. He has a good pace. He understands the joys of the race, the joys of life, and the pains of life. He is the pioneer. He's been there. He's done that. But he's also the perfecter of faith. And so he knows what to do. He knows exactly when to pick it up or to slow it down, to grab some water, stop. For life, he knows how to solve that issue. He knows how to stop that fault, that pain, that sorrow. He knows that situation at your workplace. He knows those problems. He's the perfecter. He knows the perfect way to say, hey, here's how you be a Christian in this moment, loving God and still coming to a resolution. Jesus perfected this life. He perfected this life and faithfulness. And so as a coach or a personal trainer, he has been there, done that to say. And he is the perfect and most qualified candidate to be your coach. And so let's keep reading in verse 3. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And so he's perfected it, and he's our coach. And we must know that he will endure it all with us. If he is beside us, he is with us in this life. And as a coach, he is also helping you so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. He is saying, hey, let's pick it up. Hey, what's happening over here? And he's asking you the real questions. And these real questions, he's saying, the answers to what you're asking. You can't ask a pace rabbit this. You couldn't ask someone this. You can ask your coach Jesus this. Jesus, am I following you in the way that you're calling me to? He's running the race with you. He's not on the sidelines. He's running beside you, and you can say, am I following you the way you're wanting me to follow you? You can ask him, Jesus, where am I going next in my relationship with you? He knows the course. Where am I going next? Jesus, where am I struggling? How is my stride of faith? How is my life and my endurance and my perseverance? Where am I struggling, and do I need to pick this up? If you're my coach, how am I today? How is my heart and my soul? Jesus, how are you teaching or training me today? As someone who's with us on this race, we can ask him that and expect a response. See, if we treat Jesus as someone who sets the pace, we follow him. Like I said, that's what a pace rabbit is. It's someone to follow to finish the race on time. And following Jesus is good. I'm not saying don't follow Jesus. That'd be kind of weird, right? But rather, I'm saying this. If we treat Jesus as someone who coaches us, we are in step with him. We can't just follow Jesus and expect the best outcome. Because if he is our coach and we're following him and we're just saying, okay, I'm going to match your steps, then we're not actually improving. We're not going to be great. If it's a runner and you're following a coach, you're not going to be a great runner. You're not listening to the coach. Because if the coach is in front of you and he's speaking commands to you, he's speaking this way and your ears are back here. We have to keep in step with him, as if we were talking to him while walking down this life. Like I said, he's the pioneer. He's been there before. He's a perfecter of faith. He's got the good advice. And so we need to be in step with him, walking right beside him. And so I challenge you, don't just be someone that follows Jesus. It might be easy just to say, hey, I'm going to take a step back and follow you. Jesus, you lead the way. You take the next step. But rather, we need to be someone who actively steps in with him. He invites us into partnership. He's not saying, be my follower and stand 10 feet back. He's saying, come close, be near me. That's what the Last Supper was. He was breaking bread and taking the cup with his disciples, saying, hey, I'm empowering you guys to go out and do this next when he leaves. Jesus is inviting us into this partnership. He's saying, keep in step with me. This is how I define discipleship. A personal follower of Jesus is someone, could we jump to the slide? I've lost it in my notes now. A disciple is someone who runs with Jesus and follows his coaching. A disciple is someone who runs with Jesus and follows his coaching. It's not enough just to follow behind, but actually to move forward. But we'll actually jump ahead. We'll keep coming back to that. Hebrews 12, 4 to 6 says this. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten his word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. We must know that the Lord gives discipline. He can be hard sometimes, right? Sometimes following God isn't easy, and we know that. we know that it can be rough. But if you're a parent in the room, you'd understand the purpose of discipline for a child, right? Every parent wants to raise their kid to be good, right? To live out proper morals, to be a great member of society, right? You're not raising a child, you're raising an adult. You're not teaching them how to be a kid for their whole life, but you're actually teaching them how to be someone when they leave home, to be an adult. And so discipline is actually trying to correct and prepare and give advice to the future. And when it comes to spiritual life, that is exactly what God is doing. He's saying, hey, here's the discipline so that you might be prepared further down the road. He's not saying, hey, I'm going to challenge you for the sake of challenging you. It's, hey, I'm going to challenge you so that you're ready and you're prepared for what happens. It is not a punishment or a bad thing, but it is rather, hey, get ready. What's going to come next might be difficult, but if you prepare now, you'll be ready for that moment. And that's why the author continues with verse 7, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? Discipline is to make faith stronger and to come again to that running the race illustration. If you're not disciplined, how are you expected to finish the faith race? If I'm not prepared and ready to run the race, how am I expected to finish it? To come back to what I defined discipleship as, someone who runs a race with Jesus and follows his coaching. If I'm not disciplined, if I'm not following Coach Jesus' advice, if he says pick it up and I'm not picking it up, how am I prepared for when it gets harder? If this was a literal race and he's saying, hey, pick up your pace a bit, the terrain's going to get worse down the road, how am I going to be ready if I don't start now? Every trial helps us be a better disciple. And that's just what life with Jesus is all about. We need to understand that if he is coaching us through this life, giving us direction, he is trying to encourage us to better faithfulness. We want to be coachable in our spirit, in our hearts, saying, hey, I want to take in this advice. I want to grow. I want to grow from this. And if you follow Jesus' coaching, you'll see your life of faithfulness go from a steady pace to a personal record. Jesus knows where you need to grow. His way is so much better than ours, and he's encouraging us to go for that personal record. He's wanting to run with us, but he's also trying to say, like, hey, look, we can go faster here. We can do better. Check your heart. We can grow more in here. That's his coaching. If we follow him, we'll always miss that. We'll always miss that and just stay one step behind him. But if we're walking with him, he's saying, hey, we need to grow here. We need to do better here. We've been doing good all along. We're getting that encouragement from him as well. And the author of Hebrews continues in verse 8, if you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined for us a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. And so your hardships bring out the best of you. If you're being tested right now, if you're feeling you're being tested through hardship, know that you are growing in faithfulness. That if you continue down the road, it is not for the sake of just discipline, but to grow that you might share more in holiness. You are becoming more like Jesus. God is trying to shape and form you through hardships and joys. He is trying to make you more of what Christ wants you to be. Back to the race metaphor, if your strides would be longer or your breathing is labored, he's trying to fix that, correct that, so that you persevere and you endure it. If you're running a race, I've learned this, I haven't done a race, but I've done running. I've learned that if you run and your back is forward like this, you will probably fall over. It's kind of simple, but people don't realize it because after about 1 kilometer, people start leaning forward really quick, where they're running like this, and their face is down because they're trying to make sure they don't trip over their own feet, but they keep their stride, and sometimes they fall over. Jesus, as a coach, is trying to say, hey, pull back. Pull your chest up. Your strides are starting to slow down, take longer steps. Your breathing is becoming sporadic. But in the actuality, he is saying, what is your heart doing right now? Why are you angry or bitter towards that situation or that person? That's not going to help in the long run. He's saying, how is this moment of faithfulness going to affect you in the long run? I need you to step out in this new way of faith so that your heart would be prepared for what's coming next. That is what coaching is like. And Jesus is trying to coach you. See, Jesus is trying to make you more like him so that the hardships might stand and they might create faithfulness. He's trying to prepare you for what's down the road. God wants to have more of him in your life so that you might be more Christ-like in everything you do. As Jesus is the pioneer and the perfecter, he is trying to encourage you and say, hey, be more like me so that you might run this race better. Your life might be more faithful. Your life might be filled with more joy, more compassion, more grace, just as Christ is as well. However, it's a choice to run the race this way. It's a choice, as everything is. And the author of Hebrews knows this. Hebrews 12:12 says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. And again, that's where the posture comes in. As a posture for a person actually running a race and the posture for us running our faith race, if our heart is out of posture, how can we expect to do the things Christ is calling us to heal the disabled and the weak, to help others? Discipleship is a whole being process, every single aspect. If we're running on rough terrain, and we're not picking up our feet, we're going to trip. Just as it says, make level paths for your feet. And so if I'm saying, hey, I'm following Jesus really good on this part of my life, I'm really great at grace and compassion, but, you know, I'm just going to leave this stuff out of here. I'm going to leave out this command that Jesus is calling me to. That person, he's not my neighbor. I'm just going to leave that out. We're running as if we're not picking up one foot. We're running on jagged terrain and saying, hey, I'm gonna run the same pace, and you're going to start tripping. If you're running on gravel and there's divots, you're going to fall into a divot if you're not picking up your feet properly. Or if you're running with one foot, you're just hopping down the road. Jesus is calling you for whole being transformation. He's saying if you want to run a faith race, you have to be all in it. If we're listening to Coach Jesus and we're ignoring something, we're not all in it. We're not all in it. Jesus wants your whole being. Jesus wants all of you. Because you have a choice to make level paths for your feet, not to drag something on, to pull it behind you. If my heart is attached to something that I just won't let God take control of, I'm going to be dragging it down the road for my whole life. That's awful. We don't want to do that. How can we help others too if we don't let Jesus fully help us? That's the real question. And that's where the last part of that verse comes in, that we would help those who are disabled and heal others. How are we supposed to help others when we don't accept that Christ wants all of us and we give him all of us? Jesus wants you, all of you. He wants you on mission, and there's a bit of that tone in here. But he wants all of you, that your heart would be completely transformed, that you would listen to him in every single aspect, even the one that you don't want to listen to him in. He wants all of you. So how do we do this? How do we do this? Well, first, we step into Scripture. We step into Scripture. You know what God has said already. It's in the book. That hasn't changed. He's already given you the playbook for the whole race. He said, hey, listen to this. This is going to be good. This is going to help you on this journey that you're taking. Not that he's saying, hey, just listen to the Bible. Don't listen to Coach Jesus at all. But he's saying, hey, here's the foundation. Here's where we start. As a coach gives the players the playbook, Jesus has said, hey, here is the playbook for what we're doing today. Scripture is the timeless instruction for growth with Jesus, but it's up to us to know that guide and to understand it. The second one, step into listening prayer. Step into listening prayer, and I'm going to invite us into listening prayer at the end today. But that's where we listen and we keep in step with Jesus. If we're running beside him, we need to listen to him. He's standing right beside us. But for us in today, we need to take that space where we say, hey, Jesus, you know, where do I need to improve? Where do I need to grow? Where do I need to keep in step better? How is my heart doing? We need to catch ourselves and say, hey, let me just stop these requests and bring it to Jesus. What do you request of me? What do you request of me? We need to step into hardship and not out of it. And that's the discipline piece. Because if we just keep running away from that, we're really going off course. If we ignore it, then we won't be ready for the big exponential growth that Jesus has for us later. If he's trying to refine and shape us now and we're dodging it, he's going to keep just trying and starting there. We're never going to see the big pieces of transformation if we dodge the little stuff now. We need to step into discipleship with both feet. We can't leave something out. If you're holding back, that's not all of us. That's not your whole being. Discipleship is a whole being process. And if you're leaving one thing out, you're taking two steps back from Jesus. You're saying, I'm just going to let you follow. I'm going to let you lead me down the line. We need to be all in. If we follow Jesus, we're never going to see what he has fully planned out. He's always going to take that first step and introduce us to new things, but we're never actually going to be in step where he says, hey, let's explore this together. Let's go in. We need to know that we're giving all of ourselves to Jesus. So you have a choice. The choice to keep pace, run with faith, or to take a step back and say, hey, I'm just going to let you take control and lead in front of me. But the thing is that Jesus invites us into that partnership. And so as I've ended all these messages with a question, do you listen to Coach Jesus? Because it's one thing to just say, hey, I listen to you, Jesus, and to take it in through the ears. But it's a different thing to actually say, hey, I'm going to put that into practice. It's going to hit my heart, and I'm going to start working on it. And that's where the partnership happens, when we say, hey, I'm running this race. You're right beside me. You've been there. You've done this. I need to do this then. Because Jesus got it. He's got it. He's been there, done that. And he's the best at doing it. And so we need to know that we're in step with him. All in and listening. So let's end with the listening prayer. Would you bow your heads with me? Jesus, we want to hear for you. We want to hear what you're calling us to individually today. Lord, would you just encourage us, bring to mind a word, a practice, maybe even a person that we just need greater faithfulness in. A way that you're calling us to your way. I want to encourage you, if you're still listening to Jesus, to keep praying this. We're going to have the band come up and do worship, but this is important that we listen to Jesus and he encourages us. keep moving forward.